Well, welcome again to another brand new episode of Life in the Garden. You're tuned into 1007 Riverland Life FM. My name is Scott, and fortunately I'm able to be your roving reporter. And again, I'm standing in the magnificent and delightful garden here at Cinnamurra. And I have Murray here, and he's quite keen to dispense some of his knowledge, share his wisdom with us, and I'll hand straight over to Murray. Good afternoon, Murray.
Good afternoon, Scott. Yeah, one of the things that we always have trouble with is a plant that's actually called bridal creeper. It has a botanical name, but no idea what it is. It was brought out in the very early days for the brides to put in their bouquets as a bunch of flowers, because there was very few flowers around in the early days of brides. So it was brought out, planted, used in floral arrangements for all the brides. The only trouble was, like most things that was brought out in the early days, it went viral, went all over Australia, and now we're trying to control it. It has a corm that every year just gets bigger and bigger, has a little red berried fruit after it has a white flower, which of course the birds love. They send it into a tree, squat, and next thing you've got a little bridal creeper coming up at the base of your plants. They love to sit in bushes that are 1 to 2 to 3 metres tall in a lot of cases. The seed is dropped in the middle of the bush and you don't know it's there until you see the bridal creeper coming right out the top of the bush. The only way to control it is basically digging them up. And if you leave them there for a fair few years, the corms get extremely large and they are very hard to dig up. So if you see a bridal creeper coming up through your shrubs, dig them out straight away and dispose of them. Don't bother about trying to use glyphosate, the Roundups, because it doesn't seem to work. It slows them down a little bit, but generally it does not kill them off. It's a corm. You must dig them up and dispose of the corm.
So, Murray, what do they actually look like for someone that's not exactly sure what you're talking about? I'm sure most of us do, of course, but you know, there might be the odd folk out there that doesn't exactly know what you're talking about. What's it look like?
It's a little creeper that'll generally grow to about 2 to 3 metres tall if you let it grow up a shrub. And it has a little heart-shaped leaf, very shiny, bright green, which is probably why the brides like them in their bridal bouquets, and a very tiny, tiny white little flower. But you'll notice it's creeping up and hooks onto the plant and wraps itself round and round. It doesn't have a thorn or anything, but it just invades the plant and it will take over the plant if you let it. If you want to see them growing out in the scrub, have a drive between Loxton and Murray Bridge. Out in the scrub, you'll see them everywhere, growing 2 to 3 metres up a lot of the gum trees. They have, in fact, released a little caterpillar that will attack it, but generally you need a wetter area than what we've got here for that caterpillar to survive over our summers. So generally they die out if they're introduced into this area. But if you can get them into a wetter area, sometimes the caterpillars can do quite a bit of damage to the bridal creeper.
So we often think that, saving the environment might be too big a task for us, but this is a bit of digging, but it is a practical thing that we can all get involved in.
That's right, Scott. And the corms, even though they can get quite large as far as area, they are fairly easy to dig because they're only going to be down about 30 to 50 centimetres in the ground. Oh, no, sorry, let's make that even less than that. Probably 10 centimetres into the ground. So they just spread out across the ground just underneath the surface. So once you get underneath the plant, you can start lifting it up and out she comes.
Too easy. So, and what do you do with it? Is there any special way of disposing of it? Or just put it in the bin or pop it on the bonfire? What do you do?
Probably burn it if you can, or put it in the bin for recycling, the green bin. And it can probably get mulched up and reused as compost.
Sounds excellent. Thanks again, Murray. We have some exceptional news for you this week. Hopefully you already know, but in case you don't, there is going to be a 2020 Riverland Rose Festival. And they've been in touch with us, and hopefully I'll be able to get out to all the gardens that they're going to have as open gardens. And to be honest with you, I'm standing in a former open garden, a Rose Festival open garden, and it's magnificent. But back on roses, I'm with Murray again here, and he just wants to tell us a few more things about roses.
Yeah, Scott, roses are due to be pruned about now. They say prune in June, but generally that applies to the fruit trees more than the roses, because you can do them in July and August. But get your fruit trees done first and then work onto your roses. A lot of people sit and wait until the leaves drop off their roses. The only trouble with that, a lot of roses these days do not drop all their leaves. They'll only defoliate about two-thirds and leave the other third of the leaves on the bush. So you have to make the decision, I've got to cut the bush, leaves on it or not. So you can get started about now. Make sure your snips are sharp and you have sprayed them for any funguses, because snips are the best thing for spreading fungus from one to the other. Spray it with a bit of metho and then you can get started. A lot of people really are hesitant how to prune, but any sort of pruning is better than no pruning at all. Get stuck in, open up the centre of it, make it that little vase shape as if you were pruning a huge fruit tree, and try and take out some of the smaller little limbs, because you want the stronger limbs. They say that you should, in a rose, as a bush rose, replace the stems every 3 years. So you want one third of the bush, basically, every year to be replaced with a new shoot that's coming up from near the ground. So to get that, a lot of cases, you actually have to prune fairly hard, which encourages the shoots from the base to come on up, and that renews the plant on a three-year basis. Not hard to do, you've just got to say, let's get into this and have a go, because having a go is better than just sitting and watching a rose getting older and older, and then the flowers get smaller and smaller, the stems get less and less, very hard to pick afterwards. So the harder you prune, generally you'll have a longer stemmed rose to pick afterwards, and it renews the bush and keeps it vigorous and looking really beautiful throughout the summer.
Some people, like myself, we just have a natural aversion to getting in there with the secateurs and stuff and cutting all that stuff out. But you're trying to tell us it's a good thing.
It is a good thing to prune a rose. David Rustin used to prune, he'd say, sometimes within a foot of the ground. I generally don't go quite that hard because it scares a lot of people off. But yeah, generally to prune fairly hard does not hurt roses. And like I say, it generally encourages the new shoots to come up from near the ground, which is renewing the bush over and over. That way you don't get a bush that looks very much like a tree stump and you have new growth on it instead of the old tree stumpy looking rose bush.
Sounds great. So get out there and make sure that you've got your fruit trees and vines and all that sort of thing in order, and cause those roses to come back and bloom and blossom, and let's have a marvellous time here in our gardens in the Riverland. You're listening to 1007 Riverland Life FM. You are tuned into Life in the Garden, and we will be back after this short break. Welcome back. You are tuned into 1007 Riverland Life FM. My name is Scott and this is Life in the Garden, and I'd like to quote something here from Joel Salatin. The first supermarket supposedly appeared on the American landscape in 1946. That is not very long ago. Until then, where was all the food? Dear folks, the food was in homes, gardens, local fields, and forests. It was near kitchens, near tables, near bedsides. It was in the pantry, cellar, the backyard. Thank you for that, Joel. I have a guest on the show today. It's a little bit different than usual, but you'll see how we're able to tie in what Paul's going to talk about with us. The other day, I was chatting with Di Marshall. Now, Di Marshall is from up here in the Riverland. She runs the earthworks. And we were talking about different things and different what you can do and how you can help your plants. And Neutrog came up and she told me that it was a South Australian company. And I said, get out of here, South Australian company. I never knew that. I thought it was world famous, Neutrog. But I've been able to get in touch with Neutrog, and I'm talking here with Paul. I can't do the company justice, but you can. So would you like to give us a bit of an introduction to just who you are?
Yeah, for sure. So for those who that don't know, Neutrog is a long established company. We were established in 1988 by a guy called Angus Irwin, who still owns the company today. In 1988, Angus borrowed a hell of a lot of money, about $500,000, to establish Neutrog, and it was a height of the interest rates, about 22%. So it was a bit of a struggle from day one, but 32 years on, we're a very, very successful company. So originally he set up to manufacture pelletized fertilizers to supply to the commercial farming sector. So that's really how we started, and then we've branched down into retail along the way. Mind you, the farming part of our business is still a very, very large part of it. So in 1988, when we set up, it was in a place called Kanmantoo, which we're still there now, which is just about 30 k's short of Murray Bridge. We're on a 20-hectare site there. We manufacture everything from there for the whole of Australia. We also export to places like Taiwan, Korea, Vietnam, Singapore. We also even have an overseas operation in South Africa, which is a blueprint of what we do here in Adelaide. It's done under license. They manufacture over there, and the beauty of that is we actually have some money coming back into South Australia, which is very much a rarity in today's business.
So I was correct. You are a global...
We certainly are global, yeah.
Yeah.
In a different sense, like, I wouldn't be say truly global, but we are international in a small way. So
yeah, no, that's fantastic.
And I guess one of the real great things we do up there at Kanmantoo, apart from manufacture some fantastic fertilisers, we also employ 55 South Australians, which is very key in today's economic climate.
It absolutely is, and that's why I was so thrilled to find out that Nutrog was a South Australian company.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, my son and his wife, they're both working in the environmental sector, and they're just up there in Nairn, so sort of like neighbours. So
pretty much.
Yeah, the South Australia, it's a small state, isn't it? It's a big state, it's a huge state, but in many other ways it's a small state.
It is, absolutely it is, for sure. So I guess just leading on from that, from where we manufacture, I guess really how we manufacture is really the key to why the products work so well. So we're a biological fertiliser company. We manufacture organic and some inorganic products. And I guess the reason they work so well is because of the live microbes we still have in the product after manufacture. And the way we do that is in the compost procedure, which is very unique. It's called, it's a very fancy name, deep stacking thermophilic composting, which pretty much means we put stuff in a big pile. It generates heat. It composts down. We compost that at a certain heat. We try to regulate it about 55 degrees C. That way we keep all the good stuff alive and we kill off the nasties that can't withstand much more than that. And what we end up with is a live product, which is then screened. So all the rubbish is taken out of there. And then we screen it a number of times. Then it's put in a shed. It's mixed. And then we put it through our pelleting machine. And the end result is a 4-millimetre pellet, which is largely all of our fertilisers are pretty much that.
That's right. Yeah, it's got a famous little shape, isn't it?
The old
Nutrog. Yes. Now, you're mentioning live microbes. So what?
Yep.
So what's a microbe, for those of us that don't know?
Well, the microbe is just an organism that is born from bacteria, I guess. So, there's good bacteria, there's bad bacteria. So we kill off the nasties. Mind you, I neglected to mention the compost is all started from chicken manure. That's what everything we manufacture comes from, is chicken manure. So we break that down to ensure all the nasties are out, the pathogens, the weed seeds, all that sort of stuff. But while we're getting rid of those nasties, we really keep that organic material alive in there, which is essential when it goes back into the soil. And that's really why the products work so well.
Actually, that's quite true. You can clean out your chook pen and use that in your garden, but you don't know what's going to come up.
Absolutely.
Anything could grow up out of that, couldn't it?
Well, it can. And, I mean, you can risk disease, burn factor. I mean, raw chicken manure is very, very high in ammonia and nitrogen.
Right, yes,
From composting it down, that gets lost to the atmosphere and, you lose a fair bit of nitrogen at the same token, but you get it down to a level that's usable, which is very, very important as well.
Now, that all sounds fabulous. My name is Scott. You're tuned into 1007 Riverland Life FM, and this is Life in the Garden. And Paul will hold it there for a short moment, and we'll all be back right after this short break. Welcome back. You are tuned into 1007 Riverland Life FM. Of course, this is Life in the Garden, and my name is Scott, and our guest today is Paul from Nutrog. One of the things, I know I mentioned it to you before, but you said you weren't in a position to chat about us to it, but
yep.
Di was extremely excited. She went out to where you are, and she was given a demonstration by one of your scientists, and
how to
eliminate the bad microbes, and this in particular talking about nematodes, and how to build up the good stuff in the soil. You're not really killing, or you're not really sort of trying to destroy the nematodes, you're trying to replace them. trying to replenish the soil with all the wonderful microbes and all that sort of stuff. So, and you were going to mention to us what products of yours that we are able to utilise right now.
Yeah, well, I guess we're right in the middle of winter, which is a very uninspiring time to garden for most people. And realistically, you're not going to get to the results from a chemical input because there's no warmth in the soil. So there's a few things that you need to do, and now is a great time to prepare for spring. So what you put in there, you benefit from spring, and it's really all about feeding the soil right now. So you just want to be using organic products, really just to put some goodness back into the soil. You're going to encourage some root stimulation, earthworm activity, and ultimately increase the health of your soil. You end up with a healthy soil, you'll end up with some very healthy plants. It's very, very simple. So what most people would be doing now is pruning. I mean, anybody with roses, they're generally cutting them back by about two-thirds.
That's right,
It's a very heavy prune, and that goes along with other plants as well, but roses is the most common. And when you prune, you're really putting your plant under stress. And once your plant is under stress, there's no point fertilising it. You just put it under more stress. So what you want to do is take it out of stress. Now, we have some fantastic products. We have a product called Seamungus, which, again, is a chicken compost-based fish meal, seaweed and humic acid. So a beautiful organic, certified organic blend. Once you prune, you just apply that around the base of your plant, water it in or wait for it to rain. And what that will do, take the plant out of stress, stimulate the roots, and as I say, it'll get things ready for spring.
Yep,
spring. And then what you've done in the winter, as I say, it benefits springtime. We have a fantastic product, and one that Diet Earthworks is alluding to that Dr. Yui spoke about was a product called Go-Go Juice, and that's not just for winter, that's pretty much all year round. It's a liquid probiotic. So again, when you prune your roses, you fertilise or you feed with Seamungus, you would then water it in with Go-Go Juice, which is just full of beneficial bacteria. Those bacteria multiply when they get into the ground, and they really break down the organic matter that's locked up in your soil. So again, you just benefit greatly health-wise for the soil by doing that. And I guess lastly, once you've done that, it's a great time to mulch, especially in a rose garden. You've just got rid of all the thorns, all the prickly stuff, so you can get in amongst your roses. We do a product called Who Flung Dung, which I think is one of the best mulches and one of the most unique mulches in the marketplace by an absolute mile. So it's relatively new to the market. It's essentially the oversized screenings from our chicken compost. So you get a bit of chicken compost, straw and wood shavings. We compress it into a mulch. It's nice and dark in colour, so it looks fantastic. Looks like cottage mulch, but also feeds compost all at the same time. And one thing that it doesn't do, it doesn't really draw the nitrogen out of your soil, which most mulches will. This is actually putting nitrogen back into your soil, which I say is very, very unique.
That does sound fantastic. Did you say that was called Who Flung Dung?
That's the one, yes. Very unique name.
and the other one, were you saying Go-Go Juice?
Go-Go Juice, yes.
So who's the character that comes up with these names? they're brilliant.
That would be Angus that owns the company, does all the marketing, comes up with the names. It's very catchy.
Well done, Angus. Actually, the first one there you were talking about, I didn't quite catch the name of that one, but that sounded pretty intriguing too.
Seamungus.
Seamungus.
Yep.
Seamungus, Who Flung Dung, and Go-Go Juice.
Go-Go Juice.
you can't go wrong with these ones. Good on you, Angus. That sounds fantastic. No, that's great. So, we can buy your stuff just in nurseries and places like the Earthworks and stuff like that, or you just like, do you have a stall in Bunnings or something?
Throughout the Riverland, you have a host of stockers there from Diet Earthworks, Stratco, the Home Timber and Hardware at Loxton, Bunnings. I hope I haven't forgot anybody else. I might attend, of course. You might attend have a great range.
Yeah, might attend's got a good store at Renmark over there and whatnot.
Renmark.
So we can get it in most main towns.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. That sounds great. And I did notice when we were looking at nematodes, first of all, I went to your website and I was able to print off a fact sheet too, which was really, really helpful. So you've got an excellent website. Has Angus struck up a Facebook page for himself, has he?
He has. I was just going to say, there's a lot of information on our website, which is just www.neutrog.com.au. And then we have a very, very active Facebook site, very interactive. We have a lot of followers, so just encourage people to hop on there, have a look, like it, and certainly contribute to it as well. love to hear from anybody that's had some success with our products. If they want to send in some pictures, would be great.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Yeah, the personal touch sounds great. So how do you spell Neutrog so people can get that right?
It's just Neutrog, and the name is just a mixture of nutrients and organics.
Nutrients and organics.
Organics.
Sounds marvellous. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I've really and thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you, Paul, and learning more about Neutrog. It sounds great, so I'll keep my eye out for all the different products. And I love them. I've got to say them again. Go-Go Juice. Who flung dung? And I forget the other one. I didn't write it down.
Seamungus.
Seamungus, of course. Of Neutrog. No, that's fabulous. At Kathmandu, is that how you say it?
Kathmandu.
Kathmandu, that's up in Nepal, isn't it? No, we're not in Nepal.
That's the one.
No, we're up in the Adelaide Hills.
Adelaide Hills, that's the one.
How wonderful and marvellous. Well, thanks for your time, Paul. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Who knows, we may chat again. If I can give you a call back maybe at the beginning of spring or something or other.
Absolutely, that'd be fantastic.
And we can talk some more. That'd be wonderful. Thanks again, Paul. Okay, matey.
Thank you.
See ya.
Yeah, fine.
That brings us to the close of yet another show. My name is Scott, and you're listening to Life in the Garden. Ciao for now.